The holding of Kuf Lamed Tes and Beis. We just saw that first piece of Gemara after the two thousand. Let's see Rashi. Misat of Adam Bekilo. It's the fourth narrow line of Rashi. Shehu Kisadin. A kilo was like a linen cloth. Misat of Baderech Mamash. You could wear it. You could wrap yourself up in it as a piece of clothing. Mikas Kaseho. Is Ritzuas Hatluyas Bo, see when it has these straps attached to it, not a problem. Well, Armina, we don't say Hat Ritzuas Lab Litzerch Itzuf Nina, we don't need these Ritzuas for the wrapping, you need them when you want to set the kilo up as a canopy, you need it, but you want to use it to wrap yourself up in it, you don't need it. And therefore, Vahavi Masi, we should consider it as a person is carrying a load, a burden. How shite the wild at that time? She'en kis kisin, asuyan elalin toise be'oil. When you set it up as an oil, you need the kas kisin. So Rav Chama Bar Gurya said that's not considered a hutzah. Samora said, Rav Huna said the name of Rav, that a person goes out with talis, which the tzitzis are not on properly. Chayv chat. If there be no tzitzis at all, he wouldn't be chayv, even though he's wearing a garment without tzitzis, which is improper. That wouldn't be a problem. That's considered his garment. But now that he has these extra fringes hanging out over there, so it's a problem. So Alma hatzitzios having lay masri, even though the tzitzis are attached to the garment, they're considered a burden. They're not being used right now. We don't need them at this point in time because they're not on properly. I mean, a beggar mamish, they're not part of the beggar. To consider part of the beggar. Excuse me. So over here also, the kaskasin should be considered something you're not using right now, and they should be considered a master. The more answer is chashivi. That's it. The tzitzis are chashivi. Tzitzis, because of their value, they're expensive, and they have tchelis in it, so that's significant, and therefore it's going to be considered a masi. And point out, the Tosis says, not like Rashi's pshat, Tosis and the Maskel Chashivi, Tosis says, they're not balta because they are significant to the person, because he's planning to fix them and put in the final sits, etc. Okay. So the Gemara.
Omer Rabba Bar Rav Huna.
Omer Rabbi Avin Bar Rav Huna. Marim Adam Allah Mishmaris Biyantav Litlois Ba Rimayim Vetela Bashmar. Remember, we said on Yantav you can't set up the Mishmaris, but once the Mishmaris is set up, you're allowed to use it for the purpose of straining the wine. But a person has there is a way for a person to actually set up the Mishmaris on Yantav through doing a harama, through doing something which is some type of element of it called. Vis-a-vis people, the people should not perceive that he's doing as an act of hanging it up. So then it's permitted. It's some trick that he's doing. What's the trick? He sets it up to have a different function, the function being to hold these remoinim, these pomegranates in it. And once it's set up for that purpose, which is you'll be allowed to do, it's not, you're not setting up as an oil over the kli, because its function is not to be mild and clear, its function is to hold these remoinim and put it, and you put in the remoinim, and then you take the remoinim out. Now you can use it. Once it's set up, you can use it to strain. Amar Rashi, who the Tola Bar Remoinim, the more said it's only permitted if he actually uses it for remoinim. So more asks the question, so my shnomiha, why is this case of harama different than the case of harama, which you learned in a raisa, the Tanya. Now we're going to go through the more is going to come out that the Rosh points out that there are different types of haramas. That some haramas, the halacha is that Chazal asked them. And not only did they ask them, but the more says sometimes they would give a kanas by haroma more than even by doing b'mezid, just plain mezid, because the person is playing around. He's more prone to do that. Therefore, Chazal needed to punish that. Certain haromas Chazal permitted totally, and certain haromas we'll see. There's limitations in the middle. And that's what he walks away. That's what the Rosh walks away from this Gemara. Not all aromas are equal. So the Brisa is like this: Matilin Shecher b'Moyed Letzarcha Moyed. Shalatzarcha Moyed is awesome. Person could process and make beer on Cholamoyed for the purpose of some time of the Cholamoyed or of the second day's Yom Tov. That's permitted. If it's not Letzarcha Moyed, the person is making something which would not be needed for that Yom Tov is Aser. Echid Shecher Temorim, Echid Shecher Serim, whether it's made out of dates, whether it's made out of beer, doesn't make a difference. Now, Abish Yesh Lehen Yasha, Marim Vesher Semin Echadish, a person can make new Letzarcha Moyed. And even though he has old, already made, and he has what to drink, he wants to make new, he can make new. But the Brice refers to that as a haroma, in a sense, it's not a real tzarcha moed, because he doesn't really need it. But we're allowed to say, I want this, and then make it. So the Morris Kash is a Kash on Rav Ashi. The Rav Ashi required that you actually use it for reminding him. It just says, you can go and make. The etzem what he's doing, the haram over here is like the following: that the person is making this beer now to have after Yom Tov, and he doesn't really need to make it now. His goal really is to make it for after Yom Tov. He makes a new one, and he takes right and he drinks from the new one, and that's it. Is that all? Right. So that's permitted. So that's a harama because you're really playing games over here. Because Chazal permitted that. The Gemara understands that this is a less. Taking one drink out of the Chodesh is not the same thing as using it for Rimonim. It's a lesser level of active covering your bases. Taking one drink, you make your whole big barrel of beer, take one drink, and then you leave the rest of the barrel for after Yom Tov. That looks, it's not. Oh, here you're actually using the thing for the Rimonim. Basically, you really set this thing up, use it for Rimonim. Now, what you did afterwards, that, you're requiring more, the more it holds, that setting it up, saying you're planning to use it for Rimonim, and then not use it to change your mind, is more similar to making this gigantic barrel, taking one drink and leaving it.
So I think it's got to be a shear. That's the, when it becomes okay. If I have half the barrel.
Well, let's see what the Morris Teretz is. The Morris answers, Hosam lo mukhamilsa, hocha mukhamilsa. The purpose of setting up a mishmeres, nobody sets up a mishmeres for a rimonin. It's not what you do it for. So a person sees you setting up a mishmeres, and says, aha, you're setting up a mishmeres for shimer purposes. So no, I want to use it to hang up a rimonin. Right. So, but you better stick Rimonim in there. Over here, a person makes a barrel. I don't know why people would make beer on Chol HaMoed. That wasn't an uncommon thing. So, it's not Muchach at all, so there's a problem. So therefore, the Chazal did not make a more active need to cover your bases. Chasim L'Muchach Mil. So, Chasim L'Muchach Mil. So, whether it's not obvious that he's doing it not for the Moed, over here, it's obvious you're doing it for shimur, unless you would cover your bases and doing something else. Amalei Rabbanan Rav Ashi. The Mor says a different case of harama. So the Chama says Rav Ashi, Chazi Mai Hartzumer Mirabbanan. Did the Rebbe see the master see this young Tamachokim? It's a Rabbanan, it's a young Tamachokim, like we had in Tainus. Rafuna Brabichiyun Shmei. Vomla Rafuna Brabichilovan Shmei. So this young Talmud Chacham did the following interesting harama. The shokel bore the tuba. He took a knob of garlic, monach bebarza d'dana, and he put it in. There was a hole in the barrel, and the wine is coming out. See, he stuck it in the hole. So the more sees that really what he's doing is a tikkun in the barrel. So what should be hasr? But v'omer latznuye kumachavina. He really just needs a place. I just need a place to store this garlic knob. And there's a nice little hole over here would stick in over there. So theoretically, I'd be doing it in regardless of the fact that I'm being a tikkun, doing a tikkun in the barrel. So he said, that's what I'm doing it for. And he felt that was a valid harama that allowed him to fix the hole, stop up the hole in the barrel by sticking in this nice round knob of garlic in there, and he held that was mutar as a haram. So they asked Rav Ashi, is that really acceptable what he's doing? That's really the conversation over here. The second thing that he did, another harama that he did, where it says, so he would go to sleep. They would have like this ferry boat which would take you across the river. So we don't allow the person to go onto a boat, onto a lechatchila on Shabbos, because it all goes into the gzerach hazal made that a person swimming, etc., person might make for himself something which is needed to help keep him afloat. So they prohibited the act of going into the Svina. But to go into the Svina, which is moored, just to rest for a little bit and fall asleep, Chazal didn't answer. The Chazal said going across, you know, going out onto the water. So he went to sleep in the ferry. Well, came along the non-Jewish guy who runs the ferry and said, oh, yeah, the guy's sleeping in the boat. No, interesting. Well, takes him across. And I said, oh, where am I? Oh, the other side. He steps off the boat and goes and takes care of what he has to take care of on the other side. So that was what he used to do. Also, with Noyim ben Mavra, he would go sleep in this ferry. He said, go to the other side with Sarah Perry, and he would check out his fruits, or his orchards, which are over there. He said, no, the main I'm just taking a rest. Now, it's put down a loch. It seemed that it wasn't an extraordinary thing that people would do this. Apparently, it was you know, and it's a totally obvious joke, you know, right? You know, the last time somebody went to sleep inside the ferry was like about 1,000 years ago. I mean, obviously, the point was it wasn't unheard of that people would do such a thing. It was nice big boat. People would come aboard and sit there and enjoy the view. The guy fell asleep, and then they took him across. So, it's a haram.
Well, there's also a problem of going out and then sort of inspecting your fields on Shabbos.
Actually, the more it says that if a person to go and inspect the field, etc., is it's not usher, as long as they don't say that you're doing it for that purpose. Uh-huh. They didn't usher it. So he said, see, he did that as a haram. So they were pointing out to Rav Ashi that they felt what he was doing was improper. What do you think about that? Amalahu, harama come arta. You're talking about haramas over here. Harama bidrabanan he. This was a case of a harama in an isad rabbanan. Mitzvah rabbanan li osi the me'evid lichatchila. And the person who, since he's a Talmid Chacham, he'll know to do it in a way that will not make it obvious to do it. He will not assume since he did A and got away with it, he'll go do it as B, which will be actively flaunting the words of the Chachamim. So the Chachamim are not makbid on such a thing. That if there's a way that it comes across, he's not doing it actively to go against the words of Chazal. They did not answer that haram. That's where the Rosh points out that you can't you can't extrapolate from this to every single other Darabonon. You know, it's more case specific.
But it's interesting, like, you know, you could very easily have said that, look, he's Tam Chacham, he's got a higher standard that he needs to live by. Here we're saying, no, he's got a lower standard he needs to live by because, for him personally, he's not going to err.
Well, I can hear that.
You might say instead that if it's a dangerous item, and he's an expert, so he's allowed to be a little more intimate.
Yes.
No, I think Russell's agreeing with that, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Rashi.
Question about the swimming thing. A lap pool, when the thing is shallow enough, that if you put your feet down, you're basically up to your waist in water. Or even if you sat, your head might be above water.
Would you allow to walk in it? Because I'll ask him, Shiota. Because part of the issue of flotation device is because you want to learn how to swim. So it also goes into the issue of in Shatim. Shem Yisak and Chavash HaShayotim was not just to protect you, but also teach you how to swim.
Presumably
you're in a lap pool, you're there because you know how to swim. I understand, but Chazal asked in Shatim, they didn't say, well, experts are mutter. They said, we don't want the process happening because... So from there... now, if a person goes in without doing, being meshit, there's a minig about it. I don't remember the details of the minig though. There's a minig about the minig brought down in you know the Magen Avraham, which brought down the Shulchan Aruch already. I think about not we don't even like you know go in without doing being meshit because you. Because you know, come to Mesha, you know, like it became a minute, and it's a minute with the imprimatur of the Shulchan Aruch that you should keep. But I don't remember the details of the minute though.
Yeah, but sort of don't believe they had lap pools at that period.
What?
Like, don't believe they had lap pools at that period. A mikvah is also like that. I don't think I've ever seen a mikvah that is more than what about 4 feet deep.
So mikvahs really is. They did not ask the minig never asked mikvah because it's definitely not a mukkah in which you would do anything but tefillah. But echanam the halacha is meeker than it is the person supposed to basically just go in and go out, not hang out in there. You know, you go into if you ever had the experience of going to mikvah, you know, before davening on Shabbos morning. So you know. It's supposed to be in and out. It's not supposed to be hanging out over there in the shmoozing. Marbon of Alan Mishmeres B'yamta. Let's see Rashi. The bottom of the army ain't telling us a Mishmeres B'yamta. According to the Chumash, you cannot arrange and hang and set up the Mishmeres B'yamta. Now Rashi adds L'shitosoi a swor behind this heter. The Gemara comes out the time of La Mishum Oil. So remember, Rabbi Yosef, the beginning of the parak, Rabbi Yosef understood it was an oil, and Baya challenged him that. And Baya said, "Ella, it's mirabonu shlo yasek derech shoyse b'chol." So it means Baya understood that at the end of the day, Mishmeres' function is not really an oil function. It's not its goal is not to act as an oil over the item under it. Ella mishum uvdu l'chol. It's a weekly type of an action which Chazal prohibited. So on that, the Gemara said, if that's the whole issur, so if you're doing it for something which looks like you have a valid function to do, not just to set up a mishmeres, so then you can set it up for your imonim. Samara matelo yisod letzarech imonim. You're going to hang it up and set it up for the purpose of imonim. Lav uvdun l'chol. That's not an uvdun l'chol. And once it's set up already on Yom Tov, we set up a sanan b'shmar. You're allowed to do shimer in it. Halva nitlis because it's already. There in place, Darmina Nois and Latuya B'yamtiv. Once it's in place, you're allowed to put wine through it on Yamtiv. Comes Rav Ashi with the Talib Rimanim. Bereisha, you have to use it first. Rimanim. The Muach Milsa the Mikara Lav Shmarim Taya. It should be clear that you didn't put it there for the purpose of the Shmarim. And then it's Mutter. Now, many of us are arguing Rashi and learn the Maskelim the more that the Maskelim by also meant it's an Isra of oil. It's not an Uvdin the Chol like Rashi understands. but it's still an oil problem, which is a more chamadik type of problem. Still, the more saying the haram is mutter, and they really grapple with exactly why the haram is mutter. But according to Rashi's approach, it makes it much easier. Matilin is bayishir balaz, so you're setting up the act of making the beer. The moyer b'chalashamay. Even though it's not a clear thing that the person has made the barrel for Yom Tov, takes one drink from the Chodesh and he's okay. So Moran says Hasam la Muchamil. So the Mil says Surahu. It's not obvious you're doing something wrong. People say he needs it for Yom Tov. Sheena kol yodim sheyesh laminu yoshin. The people don't know what he has stored away at home. Over here, Mucha Milsa, it's obvious he's doing something wrong. The Stam Tela Mishmeres, the Shmorim Hutela. The normal function of setting up the Mishmeres was for the purpose of doing Shimer, of straining out the sediment. Vila Yoybe Ramonim Beresha Latsnia Be'alma. If a person will not actually use it for Ramonim to store something there, if he wouldn't do that, later on when he puts the shmorim in, it would be obvious to everybody that's why he did it, what he did it for. So that's why that's problematic. It's a knob of garlic. Manach Babar said, Adana, Mokam Shiesh by Nekev, because there was a hole in the barrel. And wine is coming out. Least time. So you put it there on Shabbos to block up the hole. Which is really fixing the barrel to some element. He was going doing this through a haroma. I need a place to keep this knob of garlic. And here's a little hole. Oh, great. It's a great place to store this hole. Okay, so that was one thing that he did. Void over Achvit. The second thing that he did was also noyim b'mavra. He went and rested, fell asleep in this mavra. What is that? Besvina rechova. It's like a wide type of a boat. Asur laver hamayim, which goes over the water. He shall not. He belonged to an anshu. Midehu sheyavi reno hanoch l'tarachu. He knew that the guy was. He had a scheduled pass across the other side of the river later on, so he went to sleep over there. He would go across the Messiah Perry and Shamar Shamperis Karma. He would go there to protect his vineyard. It was Shanachim Avir B'Mayim B'Shabbos. The guy's taking him across the water.
I understand going back to the garlic. Why isn't that simply a case of Sigratia?
It's not a full fledged tikkun because you can't leave the garlic there on an ongoing basis to stop up the hole. It's not a real tikkun. So Moran says haroma bid rabbanon he hacha gersinan. That's the correct years. Hacha roma now explains hacha roma lav be isura deraisahu. You're not dealing with the isurim deraisa. It'll be isura derabbanon. You're dealing with isurim derabbanon. The nami obid mamish bloy haroma. Even he would do it directly without any haroma, but just go do it. A rabbanon who's the ovar, what he's would be transgressing would be an isur rabbanon. Hilchach, therefore, kima the tzumah rabbanon who is a tamachachim. Lachmira lay they were not so mach with him. Tuloy osel mevad lechatchila lehedya beloy haroma lavrasham lifnei hakol. So the Rashi seems to learn that the problem is that. This act, as is, seems to be permitted. The problem is, we're afraid that if a person would do it, the person would end up just dropping the whole haroma and just doing it, forget about the haroma, just doing it as is, that he won't do. But that's some haroma. Chazal do not see a need to prohibit. I think the point being that he served the rabbanon many times. The real reason why the rosh is because we're afraid if we allow you to do this, you'll come to do something more chomer, and we're dealing with a person who will not go to that. A and B, he did it in such a way where it's not obvious he's to anybody that he's prohibiting it, and then he'll end up doing it. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Second order way, which people will draw wrong conclusions. People will, and it gets to a saying, it has to be the excuse was plausible. It wasn't like he was doing something which was extraordinary, and people say, yeah, right. The excuse he told me was a plausible excuse that people would actually believe it. So if that's so, there was not a problem. The Chazal, and that's what the Rosh says. So you can't extrapolate and say, well, all the Rabbanans are just pretending to the Rises. And I'm the type of guy who's not going to do the wrong thing. As long as I come up with a plausible excuse, I'm okay. That's not true. The Rosh says that we don't give you that leeway. So what I didn't, the Rosh does not seem to give any type of general, criteria then. Okay, so if there are 50 cases of haroma out there, which are possible, and you told me there's some which are totally also, some which are totally mutter, some which are mutter only for Tumid HaChomim, some of them do Mr. Dreish of the Rabbanans, so what are the general rule? How do you decide which category? He doesn't give you that. So, not clear. I am not clear on it. No, I don't think so, because that's something you could leave there.
It doesn't seem to matter that he's fallen himself. So a cork is something you it's made to be put in, made to be removed.
Right, but a piece of garlic, by definition, it's not going to hold it. It's going to deteriorate. The wine's going to...
We cap bottles and close containers.
Right, because those are made to open and shut, whereas if I have a hole in a barrel, my goal really is to stop it up and leave it there. So even though I might be planning to take it out, but that's a plan. But the reality is, you've done it a tikkun on the barrel.
Yeah. So if you would have taken the cork, put it in there, and then later on the same Shabbat, pull it and fill up a glass, put it back, turn it into the equivalent of a spigot.
I don't know. I don't think it's the end of it, you'd be functioning as a haroma type of a thing. I don't know what the Chazal would be saying. Not that haroma.
You have to reverse it. Yeah, but my thing is this is all for somebody else. How about the fact that he's basically fooling himself?
No, he knows why he's doing it.
No, he knows exactly what he's doing, but he's not using it to store the garlic.
Boy, that's the point. But again, we're dealing with Nisut Rabbanon. It's done in a way which is least plausibly, it does not look like a tikkun, right? Apparently, this idea of storing this garlic in this hole wasn't extraordinary. It wasn't something which was, it was plausible. It was plausible. The point of the matter was, it wasn't obvious to people. I mean, if this is like something which every person says right, so then it's not plausible. Then he didn't stop. This was a plausible thing. What they were this for these people, this was called normal. So it's maybe he is doing it for a purpose. Okay, fine. So I'm not. I guess I say the case of the ship was this was normal for people to go in there and take it. Start by the port, people would walk in, sit down, enjoy the view.
I'm not sure, but I thought I'm thinking in my brain that garlic is garlic and wine is wine, and I wouldn't normally put garlic in wine.
Okay, good. So for us nowadays, that would be something which we wouldn't do.
It might be a better spot to put that clove of garlic.
Exactly. That's why I'm pointing out that in those days, this was called normal. Because you would think otherwise. So I'm explaining to you, don't make that mistake. That's not the Pshat in the Gemara. The Pshat in the Gemara is really, this is something which was normal. It was plausible. And people would say, okay, fine. So nowadays, we wouldn't be able to do this in economy, because this would not be plausible anymore. But the point is, it has to be something which is plausible, and that's why it's not obvious, as Rashi says. That's why it's called a haroma. A trick, which is not a good trick, is not a trick.
But he's still tricking himself, though.
Exactly. But that, the Gemara said that was mutter. Okay, Zot the Mishnah. Okay. Now, very, very interesting Mishnah. Difficult Mishnah. Not the words, just some of the concepts. Nosin mayim al gabi shmorim bishvil sheyitzolu. So you're allowed to put water onto the shmorim in order that they should come out clear. Now, the Rambam learns of pshat, which the Rav follows, if I call correctly, that was you had sediment there, and and there's a little bit of wine left in the sediment, so you put all this water in to sort of absorb the flavor of the wine, which is left over there. And then you now have your wine-flavored water, which you want to use. So even though theoretically what you're doing is taking the wine out of the wine, in the bottom you have mixed together wine and shmorim all together. So that's a teruvis. And by adding this water, you are doing a burrer of the wine part out of the sediment. But since the water becomes and it mixes together and it comes out, it's not coming out as an act of burrer, they did nasa. Rashi learns that there's wine sitting in the mishmeres. Remember, we said, remember that the mishmeres was fine enough that the wine wouldn't, you know, it would sit there. It would sit there, and you want to add some water to help it, the process along of having the wine go through. So Rashi holds that's mutter to do even on Shabbos. You're allowed to add this water on top of the shmorim, so that'll come out together with the wine. It'll help the wine go through. So now the problem, obvious problem, is why isn't that burger? Basically, so you want to get the wine out of the sediments, and you're using the power of the water to pull the wine through the strainer. I guess the wine was, you know, it was minimal enough that the gravity alone wasn't pulling it through. And by adding this water, so now there's more weight, so the water together with the wine would go through the mishmeres to the bottom and leave you with the sediments on top.
It's sort of the secondary effect of the water mixing.
Right. So why, but the Mishnah says that's mutter. So this is Rashi's pshat. It's brought down in Halacha, actually, which leaves you, you know, with the Acharyim come along and say, we don't understand it. And the Mishnah already said, we don't understand why Rashi's case is mutter. Why? What's the logic why it's mutter exactly? The force will come along and say explanation, it still leaves you like, you know, they raise the question. There's two acts of burrer potentially which are happening over here. One is that the water itself is going, mixing with the sediment and then being, there's one question, there's a burrer on the wine from the remaining wine which is there with the sediment. The second issue is you've mixed the water in with the sediment, and then the water strains through also. Right, so the Levush says that the water would go in clear, come out clear, and it would just, you know, that's not called an act of burrer. If you let it in the middle, it gets mixed up and then it comes out. You know, it started out not mixed, it ended up not mixed. The fact in the middle, so he dresses the water thing, he doesn't dress the wine thing. Like, why isn't the wine... So one of the arguments is it's not, like you said, it's secondary. It takes time for it to flow through. It's not, but still, it leaves you very confused into the halachos of burrer.
So we talked earlier about like a Brita filter.
We're going to get that's Gemara. That's this Gemara.
And that wasn't an issue. So why did it finish?
The reason why I think the Gemara is going to bring up that case. That's but the reason why I think this is different than that is if you're dealing with the water, that's an argument. Like you said, the water goes in usable, comes out usable, so the fact that it went through some filter in the middle, which is certain that's what happened, doesn't bother me. But when you're dealing with the wine, which is mixed into the sediment, and you need to separate that out, so I'm using it's a burrer b'kli, which, in other words, let's say you have nuts and their shells mixed together. So you have a grist of granite, there's a large amount. I don't mind them getting wet. I'll throw them all into a big thing of water, and the nuts, which are heavier, will fall to the bottom, and the shells will float on top. Mm-hmm. That's an issue of the rice. That's a very sugar more. That's an issue of the rice because you're using the water to do the process of burr for you. It's doing burr. We had it over there. You know, it's on Yom Tov, it's mutter, on Shabbos it's aser. We had it over there in Bay at the end of the first parak, if I recall correctly. So why is this any different? I'm using the water to pull the wine out of the. I'm using the water as my vehicle, as my kli, to pull the wine out of the sediments, which are right now in a state of teruah, so that with that is a halachic issue. Like the more we'll talk about later on, you know. So it needs a hezber. Okay, masanim is a yain b'sudorim. The second halachah of the Mishnah is you're allowed to put the wine through a sudor, ubekfifa mitzoris, or this type of a basket, and that pashas is referring to. It's talking about wine, which it wasn't shmorim; it was wine. So it's going in. That's your case of the Brita filter. It's going in pretty clear. It was drinkable as is. Comes out clear. They didn't really make a real difference. They didn't ask for that. And in other words, sudorim was not the normal way of doing it. Mishmeres is the normal way of doing it. So you're adding in. At least some of the Rishonim say that this het over here is predicated on the fact you're dealing with the Durbanon anyway, because it's with the Shinui. It's not the normal way of doing it, they're using the Suter. So they didn't answer it in that in conjunction with that. Okay. The next din. Menosin Beya b'mesenenes shalchardol. You had to put, the Rashi means tup shaltim, exactly what you want to do with this egg. The Gemara says that the goal of this adding this egg was to add color. So your mustard, you would add the yolk, and apparently the way you would, once you break up the yolk is more, the yolk is more liquidy than the white of the egg. The white of the egg is a little more, so you put it through a sifter, the yolk would run through and the white would stay on top. Meanwhile, the chardel, which you made into a liquid, apparently would go through also. It was fine enough that the chardel would go through, and you'd end up with more yellow-colored mustard, which is what you want. So the Mora says, but the Maisa, you're being burr out the yolk part, and you're leaving the white on top. So the Mishnah says that's mutter, because the fact that you're adding some color to the chardel is not a significant action. That it's considered a real burr, that you've changed something. Since you understand, we discussed once, I think, that the Baal HaMor discusses why isn't burr always a issue of malachos shenisuch l'gufa. That's, you know, you take out the psoilus, you know, the issue of burr is really taking the psoilus from the oichel, so I don't need the psoilus, so I'm doing the act in the psoilus to do a tikkun and what remains behind, which the chardel malachos shenisuch l'gufa. That was the Baal HaMor's kasha. So we said then that that's one of the reasons why you need a state of teruvis, is because we look at a teruvis as one entity, and it started out an entity which was problematic. It had its psoilus in it, and ends up as an entity which has been corrected and fixed. So it's not considered an shenisuch l'gufa because I did a tikkun in this whole. We don't look at the psoilus and the oichel two independent things. Look at it as one big unit, and this unit has started out being with some type of an issue, and the issue has been corrected. So it's called Sichel L'Gufa. So if you find it like that, so it's not considered a real tikkun, the fact that it's a little bit more colorful, etc. That was not considered a real shinui, significant enough that we could look at it, you've done something. So in halacha, I think we discussed once. I did that. If it looks like a taruvis, it's a taruvis. You know, it's like the criteria they give you in halacha is depends on the amount, the proximity, the amount, and the size. The only really way you're going to be able to do this, then, you know, if people perceive this as one big, you know, pile. You go to Shalom Zachar in the winter, and you know, and everybody piles their coats on top of the couch, and there's like 57 coats. Pile on top of the other, it's a taruvis. You know, you have a problem, you start, you know, oh, no, that's not the one I want. You know, it's a problem. You have to take two coats sitting right next to each other. It's not a taruvis, you know, and somewhere between is your problem. V'oisin anumlin b'shabbos, the next case of the Mishnah is the person wants to make this type of a med. It was a type of a concoction of wine and other things, etc., which they used to make on Shabbos. So Chazal did not aser making this on Shabbos. You hit on it b'Shabbos because no, on Shabbos you're allowed to make it only in a you're allowed to make it like a cup's worth in a cup. B'yomtiv belogin and yomtiv like in a small pitcher. But you make b'Shabbos in a whole barrel. Which Pashas he's saying a kula. If you have more, you have guests on Shabbos and you need more than one cup's worth, you let them make more than one cup's worth, because it's obvious you're doing it for the purpose of for the Shabbos. Rashi. So you already have the sediment sitting in the mishmeres. You add water. They'll come out flowing out clear. Because the wine now kamochim shekaren yansh. Now. If you look in the bottom over there, he puts in a dot over here. Shitzul nozuv is should belong a dot or two dots really. Then esayayin is mesan esayayin besudorim is the next case in the Mishnah. A dot mivnei kamochim shekar nyanch. So the Rashi is coming to explain the second case of the Mishnah. What you were doing was putting the wine through the sedorim. It wasn't for sediment. You wouldn't use a sedor for sediment, but there was these pieces of things that are floating in the wine to strain those things out. The sedorim upkifa mitzaris. Upkifa mitzaris means hasuya mitzuri deko, that it's made not mitzris, which means from Egypt, but mitzoris from a surei dekel is palm leaves. Kifa is a sal, a basket made of palm leaves. And listen, beya be mesenenas, shachadu nosen bo, you have this mesenenas, this sifter, which has a concoction of mustard in it, the histane, to sieve to sift out. The colletus is absurdless, and the good card will fall to the bottom, and the top will catch the absurdless. Vafabeya hachalman shalom noitiv umistanin imoy. The yolk will flow down. Vahabed the card of the mara, it'll help the color of the mustard. Vechelbin and the white shukasha, which is a little more clingy to itself, nishulamala will stay on top. That's shot number one. Rabbein Olevi Pirish, Rashi says a different. His Rebbe explained a different shot. Sinuna shalbeya l'sech tavshalhi. It wasn't the reschardel on top, but there was a food down below, and you wanted the yolk of this to sort of. You didn't want the white to go in, you want the yolk to go in. And the purpose was that the yolk should add color, the same idea, but you're using this sinun to keep the white out. Well, this is a cardinal. So there is no mustard over here. Now, but the Mishnah mentions Mesenna Shal Cardinal. So he adds, Mesenna Shal Cardinal, who the Shor Mishum Shinui. It's only going to be mutton. We're going to be mad to this idea of the color, like the Mor says, only for coloring, in conjunction with the fact you're dealing with an Issa Derabanan, because it was you didn't usually use a Mesenna Shal Cardinal, the mustard sifter, as the way to get your egg in. So it was done with a shinu. We are the secha karashu klisheni umislab and atavsh. And the Rashi says, but one second, why don't you have a bishul problem that is going into this food? So the food is cooking the egg, the yolk of the egg. So Rashi says that Rabbeinu Levi held that's not considered bishul because going to klisheni as opposed to in halacha that we deal with an egg as a kali bishul which might cook in a klisheni. He held there wasn't a problem. So the yolk which would get cooked into this tavshul was there's not a problem with bishul on that. No. Because Rabbeinu Levi was I made some type of chicken paste, and I wanted to get a little bit more color, so I want to add an egg yolk for color, but I don't want the white to go in.
Strain it over the mustard.
Strain it over, not no mustard. I'm using the mustard strainer.
The
with no mustard, which has no mustard in it at all, according to this pshat.
No residual, nothing.
No, but this, it's a way to strain out and keep the white of the egg out, that only the yolk should go into my chicken. So, and then I got have yolk on my chicken, right? So, and the purpose of the says it was for color. So I'm not really, it's not like the white is bad and the yolk is good. It's not, you know, neither one is really significant to me. So, plus I'm doing it with a sheener because I'm using a mustard strainer, which is not the normal way of doing this. So the combination of the two is mutter. In Numlin is pushin, is a type of a sweetened wine. Logan is golem mikoyis, v'kat mikhavis. Logan is this jug is larger than a cup and smaller than a beer. Okay, let's hold it here.